Have you ever wondered, what's the use in praying? I don't get an answer anyway. Or you find yourself praying for something that if God doesn't answer, you can take care of yourself. Now, truth is, guys, I know all of us fall into one of those categories at one time or the other. We just do. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans 8. Tonight I'd like to share with you the topic of God wants to answer your prayer. As a matter of fact, God wants to answer your prayer more than you want it to be answered. Because oftentimes his glory is attached to his answer. Particularly when it's the kind of request that is bigger than life. And God answers prayer and people stand back and say, wow. Not necessarily that the prayer was answered, but we've got this great God that can answer prayer in an amazing way. Think about some of the verses. You know, Jeremiah 33:3. You can't have a conference on prayer without hearing, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Or John 14:14. Have you ever tripped over this one? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I tried asking for a Corvette. It didn't work. I don't have a Corvette. What does it mean? John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. John 16:23-24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive it, that your joy may be full. The New Testament is sprinkled with those kind of verses. We look at them and we say, I don't get it. It doesn't work for me. I remember years ago talking to a young man who had been saved just a relatively short time. And he had read this, and so he prayed. He said, I'm not sure I'm saved because I didn't get an answer to prayer. So we want to look tonight at how to get your prayer answered. How do we do that? I want to begin by reading in verse 31 and 32 of Romans 8. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Years ago, a young teenage boy came to his parents and said, I believe God's calling me to the mission field. Mom and Dad said, that's great. 20 years from now, you can go. He said, no, I think I need to go now. And after a great struggle, they let him go as a teenager. As he's getting ready to go, the mission board calls and said, could you please give us his clothes as well? And Dad said, well, of course, if I'm giving my son, you could have everything else that belongs to him. That's what verse 32 is talking about. God gave the best of heaven. Would he not also give me everything else? Think about that. When he gives the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the one who, when he walks down Main Street heaven, all the angels bow, and he gives him to me, won't he give me everything else as well? I want us to consider three things. One's the premise, the other is the procedure, and the other is the provision. The premise is just that. Since God has given me Jesus Christ, the most valuable possession of all the world, now I can pray with confidence. Because if I have that as a gift, he'll give me the rest. Let's move on to the procedure. And to do that, you need to go up to verse 26. We're going to stay in this text. It says, "But likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Verse 26 and 27 unlocks the secret to getting prayers answered. Do you ever pray like this? "Lord, I'd like such and such and such, if it be your will." We tack on "if it be your will" kind of as a safety gate, just in case it doesn't happen to be the Lord's will. How do I know what God's will is? Can I know God's will? 26 and 27 says I can. So let me give you three steps. Number one, you need to learn to be able to reach to the Holy Spirit. Now, by the way, and I know that we Baptists are afraid of the Holy Spirit because we're afraid that we may just get labeled charismatic. But as a result of that, we miss a great deal of the Trinity and the power of God in our lives. Amen. He was given to us to live inside of us, to teach us, to bring us into all truth. That all truth includes the will of God. So, we need to learn to talk to the Holy Spirit. You say, that's heresy. We're supposed to talk to the Father. Now, wait a minute. It's true that when we make requests, we make them to God the Father. Our Father which art in heaven. So we make those requests to the Father. But when I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, I'm not making requests. I'm saying, "Holy Spirit, what is the will of the Father in this area for my life?" When you're looking for direction in your life, don't you go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him? "Spirit of God, direct me." When I pastored in Philadelphia for 20 years, I'd have to go down to the hospitals. Now, if you're from Philadelphia, you know what kind of task that is. There was in the greater Philadelphia area, there was 120 hospitals. You just hope that you didn't have somebody in every one of the hospitals. That never happened. But I had to go down to Center City, and parking down there was impossible. And there was certainly no on-street parking, and if you went to the city ramps, it cost you $25 an hour. Now, it may cost more than that now, but that's what it cost back then. And so I would hear that somebody was in the hospital. I was going to go down to the hospital. I'd get in my car, and I'd say, "Holy Spirit, please guide me to a spot where I can park. And it'd be really nice if they're close to the hospital." I never, never, never had to park in a ramp. And there were times when I had a deacon with me one time, and I happened to mention this in church. And the deacon said, "Sure, sure." Well, he happened to be going with me. He said, "Well, did you ask for a parking spot?" I said, "I did." And we're pulling up by Jefferson Hospital. And I got within a half a block, and a car pulls out of a parking spot, and I pull right in. I said, "See? The Holy Spirit is real. He guides, He directs." Now, with regards to prayer, when I am seeking the will of God, instead of tacking on, "If it be your will," before I go to the Father, I go to the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit, what is your will with regards to this?" Now, you understand that there are some things I don't need to ask the Holy Spirit about because He's already told me in His book. All right? I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those kind of things that are not so clear. Just before we came to church, got a text from my son. He's been pastoring in Ben Salem now he's been there a total of 17 years between being a youth pastor and the pastor. He just accepted the call to another church. And he's been struggling with this. Won't you believe it? He's going from Philadelphia to California. He's going to become part of the heretics in California. But he's excited. But he said, Dad, how do I go about finding out if this is what God wants? I said, Rodney, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit. Have the Holy Spirit give you a peace that invades your life that comes from no other place than the Spirit of God. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our infirmities are what? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Exactly what it says. Then he says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So the Spirit of God leads me into the will of God, and now he's going to make intercession for me. He becomes my prayer partner. Now that's cool. That's cool. Because I'll tell you what, when President Reagan was first elected, he placed Bob Billings on the cabinet as an undersecretary of the Department of Education. Well, Bob Billings and I were pretty good friends. He was in our church many times. We supported him. And he was in Washington, D.C. as a lobbyist. And we had a preacher in Michigan that got put in jail. Got put in jail because he wouldn't close his school down. So churches from Ohio, Indiana, Illinois all came together, and we had a rally, and we were praying. And the guy that got in charge of all of that came to me and he said, do you have any connections? I said, yeah, the fact is I do. Now, this is right after Reagan had been shot. He was back in the office, but on very limited duty. And Bob Billings had told me when he went to Washington, he says, Bruce, anytime you need anything, you just call me, day or night. So it's about midnight. I called Bob Billings. I said, remember when you told me that anytime I needed anything, I could call you? And he said, sure. I said, I'm cashing in all my chips. He said, what do you need? He said, I need you to go to the president. He laughed. He said, no one gets to see Reagan right now. I said, don't tell me your problems. Just, I'm cashing them in. 6 o'clock in the morning, President Reagan called the governor of Michigan and said, I hear you guys are putting preachers in jail in Michigan. What's going on? The governor, who at that time was Republican, said, Mr. President, I know nothing about it. Reagan said, I didn't think you did. I'm sure you'll take care of it. Have a good day. By 6:30, the preacher was out of jail. Now, here's the deal. I was no big deal, but I had a partner in Washington, D.C., who went to the president. My friend, let me tell you something. You have a partner that has access to the very presence of God because he is God, very God. He's a member of the Trinity. Don't minimize that. Well, then he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So Jesus Christ knows my heart and the Holy Spirit, and he is my intercessor. We heard about that this morning. And he can go on my behalf. So I've got the Holy Spirit and Jesus both going to the Father and say, look, Bruce Love needs such and such. Now, the Father can hardly say no if the Son and the Holy Spirit are both on my side. If they're making intercession at the same time, I'm praying. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He is doing exactly what God wants for my life. Please understand that. We're starting a church in Dubuque, Iowa. And we had outgrown the building that we were in. We would rent they had taken a barn out of the country, remodeled it, and turned it into a kind of a community theater, and we rented it on Sundays. And we were just jam-packed out. And so the guys got together and said, we need a building. we turned one of the bedrooms in the house that we were renting into an office, and I was in there working on message, and I hear the doorbell ring. I go out there, and Roger, who is a hog farmer, comes. He says, found our building. Now, how many of you have ever been a hog farm? Not very many of you, okay? All right. Hogs have a very unique smell. I'm putting it kindly. Well, Roger smelled like hogs because he'd been slopping the hogs. And he wanted me to get into his pickup truck that also smelled like hogs. And we're going to drive about 3 or 4 blocks up the hill. And we came to this huge building. Found out later it was 100,000 square feet. And I said, what are we doing here? He said, this is our new building. I said, Roger, you're crazy. He said, oh, no. He said, this is our building. He says, we're gonna go in and take a look. I said, and I knew it belonged to the Roman Catholic Church. It was a dormitory for nuns and priests. I said, Roger, do you have somebody that's going to take us through? He said, oh, no. I said, do you have permission? He said, we don't need permission. I said, Roger, that's breaking and entering. He said, now, don't worry about it. He said, look, the place is so big that they'll never know we've been in here. He said, well, here's someone coming. We'll just slide into a room and wait until they pass. I could just see the Roman Catholics getting this old Protestant boy and getting him in real trouble. Make a long story short, this building had sleeping quarters for 400 people, had 8 kitchens plus a commercial kitchen. It was an incredible building. We bought that building for $171,000, furnished. But you know how it happened? 20 guys, most of whom were first-generation Christians, got together to pray all night. Not pray for the building, praying for the will of God. When it came time to put the money down and so forth, it was all there. I've watched God do some amazing things. Not because of who I am, but because of who the Holy Spirit is. Now, if we know the premise that God will give me everything with Christ, because he's already given me Christ, he'll give me everything else. Provided it's within his will, which the Spirit of God is going to lead me to. So now I've got to learn to trust. And the trust comes in verse 28, 29. And that's the provision. Now, I'll be honest with you. We're going to read this verse in a moment. I don't know about you all, but I struggle with verse 28. Have you ever been going through a difficult time and some well-meaning Christian comes up to you and says, well, brother, Romans 8, 28 is still in the book. You want to slap him. That's why I have a problem with verse 28. You know, now, fortunately, verse 29 follows 28, and that helps me. But if I tie it to verse 26 and 27, that he helped my infirmities, that I can go to God, make it for his will. And he says, and we know that all things, that's tied to verse 27, all things work together for the good of them that love God. So as the Spirit of God leads me into the will of God, that all the things in the will of God are for my good. Now we tend to believe that for my good means that it's going to make me happy. Not necessarily true. It's for God's glory. I would guess that Job was not a happy camper as he sat in all those ashes. But he understood the glory of God and understood that what he was going through, for whatever reason, God had a purpose. You and I need to come to that place in our lives. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, for whom he did predestinate. Let me go back. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, be conformed to the image of his son. Now, remember that he spared not his own son. He'll with his son freely give us all things. Now I need to know what I can pray for as I ought, because all things work together. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. When I pastored in Michigan, Eastern Michigan, one of the men of our church was middle management for the Buick plant in Flint. And so he said, would you like a tour? And he said, it was the kind of tour nobody else gets. I said, oh, yeah. So I said, we'll start at design and we'll end with the brand new Buicks rolling off the line. I said, oh, this is going to be cool. So we went up and we saw all the designs, all the futuristic ideas of Buick and so forth. He says, and this one here is the one that's on the line right now. So he said, I'll take you down and show you it. So we go to the foundry, and all we have is a bunch of sheet metal all over the place. I said, this is the Buick you're going to show me? He says, yeah. Sometimes God's plan looks like sheet metal. But he takes that sheet metal, he puts it in this huge press. They push two buttons and step on a safety pedal, and bang, down it comes. Press goes up, and there's a hood. You know, it may be that tonight, you're a piece of sheet metal that the press has just come down on. And you're yelling, ouch, it hurts! But sometimes God allows us to go through these things so that we can come out the end. And as we went through all the different things, it took me almost all day to go through it. Then I watched as drivers drove these brand new Buicks off the road. Looked exactly like the one we had seen up in design. And let me tell you something. Verse 29. We've been predestined to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. And everything that the Spirit of God says, yes, it's his will, has as its purpose ultimately to mold me into the image of Jesus Christ. So as we consider the matter of prayer, please understand that prayer is all about glorifying God and conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And as that happens in my life, then God is glorified. In my library, I don't have as many books as I used to, but in my library I used to have lots of books on prayer. Most of them had to do with a format of prayer. Do you realize God's not interested in the format? He's not interested in being talked to like he is a salesman trying to talk him into something. I'm going to close with this, and college students have probably already heard this. My wife and I became youth pastors of Calvary Memorial Church in Muskegon, Michigan. Our first Sunday there, we were introduced to a man by the name of Simonelli. Simonelli had been saved for 6 weeks. He was a barkeeper, and he was a tough, tough barkeeper. He settled fights with just a look. He was tough. Had a reputation over all of Muskegon. Got saved. Came to church faithfully. We were there Sunday. I was told that it was the sixth Sunday there. Just a baby Christian. In a church of about 400. Service about to close. And the pastor said, Lou Simonelli, would you close in prayer, please? And you could hear gasps in the auditorium. Lou stands up and says something like this. Well, God, not sure I understood all that. But he said, I know there's some people here that needed to hear that. And he begins to name them. And then he says, well, Lord, that's all for right now. See you next time. He didn't even know how to say amen. We opened our eyes and looked around. There wasn't a dry eye in the auditorium. I think God said to the angels, shh, be quiet. Lou is praying for the first time. Listen to this. There's just something about the sincerity of a young Christian who hasn't learned the ecclesiastical format of prayer. You go to seminary to learn, thou great God, creator of all things, thou the God of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the bum boys. Yeah. You go to seminary for that. But just talking to God, I think, blesses God's heart. And when we learn to come to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to the Father and says, Father, Bruce loved needs. And the Father said, it's granted. Because it's in my will. And by the way, the Holy Spirit never goes to the Father except it be in the Father's will, because he knows the will of the Father. Right. I promise you, if you'll start doing that, it will revolutionize your prayer life.